have to fix it though.
Rock to rock. That's what they say in China. Morning. We're not like the NFL guys. 2 minute warning. Ours is the 1 minute warning. Are we on? I guess.
Yeah.
How many months have we been doing this?
The music's up. This is where you start talking.
Oh, is that? Is that okay? Good. I finally got a clue. I need a dollar now. All right. Well, Lord willing, we're going to get into Isaiah chapter 13. And we get the blessing to start it with verse 13. And Lord willing, we're going to try to get down to verse 22. We'll see what the Lord has in store for us. Stephen, if you don't mind opening this up with the word of prayer and ask God's choice blessings on his book for us, we'd certainly appreciate it.
Sir, Lord, thank you for this beautiful day, for the people to come in, and so everyone can have better knowledge of your word. Yes.
Amen. 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 Well, I will start with the odd numbers, 13. I'll let you guys read the even. And let's see what the Lord has in store for us today.
Where are we going to?
To the end of the chapter.
Oh, okay.
13 to the end. And we'll see if we can make it that far. We've got a lively crowd here. Heckles on one side, Jekylls on the other. All right, verse 13. verse 13. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger.
And it shall be as the chased roe, and as the sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people, and flee every one into his own land.
Every one that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword.
Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished.
Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver. And as for gold, they shall not delight in it.
Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children.
And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah.
It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there.
The wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. And owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there.
And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and the dragons in their pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Okay. The outline that we have here for Isaiah for the entire chapter is God's judgment on Babylon. Verses 1 through 5, God gathers his army to defeat Babylon. And at this time, Babylon is not even a world power. But God is telling you ahead of time it's going to be a world power. And then when it does, I'm going to go ahead and take them out. And I'm going to gather my armies. Now, what's fascinating, when he gathers his armies, guys, they're not sons of gods. They're not Bible believers. They're unsaved heathen. And God said, I'm going to take this group of unsaved here, and I'm going to knock off the other group. Fascinating. And guys, as we study Isaiah and all these judgments that God has on all these nations, America is not going to escape the judgment of God. And the very same sins these people had in their countries, we have them right here now. And I never dreamed in my generation we'd see it fall so quick. And I have a lot of clues as to why it happened so quick. And guys, we just can't keep up with the sin nature of mankind. And it's just the way it is. But in our area, in the world that we live in, we should still carry out the gospel and try to make a difference in somebody's life in the world that we live in. Verses 6 to 18. The horrible results of destroying Babylon. God gives us a great description of how he's going to destroy Babylon, and it's frightening. And that's where we come in with verse 13. And of course, verses 19 to 22 is the utter ruin and desolation of Babylon. And all you have to do is go to where that Babylon is today, and you realize that when God says he's going to do something, he does it, period. And you can't change it. And something to keep in mind, guys, as we study the Word of God today, of all the crazy things that are happening, we have not just the greatest book in the world. This is the most powerful book in the entire world, right here. This is the pure Word of God. Everything that God does is situated in this book right here. And guys, I'd like to think that the speed of light is fast. All right?
Well, it is.
But you know what? When we pray, it's faster.
I know.
Far faster. Zip, zip.
Let's see how fast the rapture is going to happen.
Yeah, I was just, they said in the twinkling of an eye. And so General Electric went ahead and tested what a twinkling of an eye is. And it came out to, if I remember, 7/100ths of a second. Wow. I mean, we don't even think of that term. We look on the clock, click. Yeah. Well, whatever 7/10ths of that is, that's fast.
Wow. It was really helpful to me as a young believer, though. I think in terms of my prayers having to reach heaven. And someone said, you realize Jesus is right there with you right now.
Oh, absolutely.
So as soon as
amen.
Then you go in and Isaiah says, before you even speak, I know what you're
saying.
Yeah,
amen. Oh, absolutely.
And I was just thinking, actually downstairs I was watching some of those. A lot of even Christians paint God up to be somebody who's far off.
Correct.
He's close.
No, he's right there.
And it's weird because even like some of those gospel songs they say.
He's at hand.
He's at hand, as far as your hand.
I learned.
That's right.
Well, I used to work in the children's ministry, and just so you know, even though we don't have a children's ministry here at BBF, wherever I find children, I'll still work with them. It's not just a, quote, a job. But guys, it's a ministry for your whole lifetime. You minister to whoever God puts in your path. If it's a five-year-old, minister to them. If they're a teenager, you minister to them. If they're up in their 70s and 80s, you still minister to anybody that God puts in your path. So when I had the opportunity of leading these kids to the Lord, we taught second to third graders, all right? But when they repented of their sins and trusted Christ as their Savior, I would show them their hand. And we take, I believe it's Hebrews 13:5. Five's a good remember for five fingers. And I would share with them the verse, I will never leave thee. And then whatever their name was, George or Alice, whatever their name is, I will never leave Stephen. Never. That was a good reminder. He's right there. Your hands are a good reminder. I'm never going to leave you. So he's right there. He's with you for your entire life. Just as we get into verse 13, I would share something with you that I thought was hilarious. It's a Peanuts cartoon. And we recently did a gospel track called Hope. And in the gospel track of Hope, we share with you at the end of it that you need to get saved and you need to start every single day reading the Word of God. Even if it's only 5 minutes, spend some time before your busy day gets too busy that you crowd him out.
Amen.
Charlie Brown is in bed, lying down. And he says, sometimes I wake up knowing I'm going to have a bad day. And sure enough, I have a bad day. Okay?
Power of negative thinking. What do you say?
Next paddle. He's now sitting up in his bed. He says, sometimes I wake up thinking I'm going to have a good day. But it always turns out to be a bad day. You can't win for losing. That's what we say back in the hills. Third panel. How come I never wake up thinking I'm going to have a good day and then really have a good day? Or how come I never wake up thinking I'm going to have a bad day and then have a good day? He goes, my stomach hurts. And guys, without Christ, that's the way we are. That's the way we live. We need to have Christ in our life, and we have to, even though we're saved, by reading the Bible and by praying to the Lord, you're, quote, unquote, inviting him in. All right? You're not running your whole life all by yourself. He's with you through the good times and the bad times. But I thought that was very apropos for the stuff that we go through in life. Let's start with verse 13 here. Okay, verse 13. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. All right. In this verse here, when it talks about the earth moving, we have the same phraseology in Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. So who has that?
Haggai
same
two,
wording.
6 and 7?
Yes. Okay, and then also Haggai in the same chapter, verses 20 to 22. I don't mind just getting those. And then,
okay, verses 6 and 7?
Yeah, 6 and 7.
For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts.
Amen. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Notice it's futuristic. I will shake the heaven. I will shake the earth. I'm going to shake all the nations. So this is prophetic. He's doing the same thing with Babylon. Now I'm going to shake Babylon up. I'm going to knock him to pieces. And then also verses 20, 20 through 22. You got that one too then?
Who? Oh.
Yeah.
Someone else can call us mail for you. I can go
Okay, Stephen does. All right.
Chapter
2.
Verse
2. Yeah. 20, 21, 22. Did you find it? Haggai?
It's one of those minor differences.
It's okay. We're not in a race.
It only has two chapters.
Huh?
It only has two chapters.
Believe it or not, that's all my Bible has.
Yeah, that's all mine
has. And again, the best pronunciation of the Haggai that I heard was old Haggai. Go ahead.
And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 20th day of the month, saying, Speak, O Zerubbabel, governor of Judea, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the houses and the riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother.
Amen. Again, future twice in the same book. God says, I'm going to shake the heavens, I'm going to shake the earth. Same wording that we have here in Isaiah 13:13. There's another mention of it in Isaiah 24, which I'll go ahead and read this one. 24 verses 20 to 23. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners were gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion, and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously. Again, there's another reference, guys. It's futuristic. I'm going to shake everything, and I'm going to bring in my ruler, the Lord Jesus Christ, to rule and reign on the earth. The fact that he's shaking everything up here, there's also a connection that says the heavens. One of the things we'll find out later, or even now as far as the Babylonians, they were astrologists. They worshiped the stars. We found in an earlier study, I think there was something that the ladies had around their neck in the shape of moons. They worshiped the moon, they worshiped the sun, they worshiped the stars. All right? So when God said, I'm going to shake it all up, if you're looking up to the stars for a guide, all of a sudden, there goes the moon. There goes the stars. Now what are you going to do? Gone, you know. And I would remind you again, when it comes to the Word of God, memorize as much as you can. Because there may come a day when, who knows if we'll be in a prison or in some place where we don't even have the Scriptures. And to say, well, it won't happen because it's here in America. Well, I remember, back in 1985, maybe 86, I was with a friend. We were preaching against the gay parade. All right? And I was standing with the veteran there. And the veteran said, "We never dreamed this would happen in America." We're talking to old-time veteran. We never dreamed this would ever happen here. Now, there's a lot of things you and I would say right now, it's not going to happen here. Guys, it's falling apart so fast. I don't know what your predictions are, but it can't go in the positive direction unless it's connected with the Word of God. And when I mean connected by the Word of God, I mean, if there's going to be a revival, guys, it's got to come from this book, Authorized King James. Every major revival in American history came from this book. Amen. Not any other book. Sure. And something else that I discovered on my own this past week, or while I was learning to do another track, the Bible just before the King James is called the Geneva Bible. Now, why didn't God want his book coming out of Geneva? Fascinating. If I recall, I think that's the home place for Calvinism. And on top of it, it's where they have that thing called CERN that's trying to open up the fourth dimension to devils. So those are just some of my insights that I pick up. All right? And as you're studying the Word of God, He'll talk to you. He'll compare scripture with scripture. And this book becomes so alive. It's just incredible. Oh, yeah. Okay. Exodus. Who's got Exodus chapter 3, 3 through 6? Exodus chapter 20, 3 through 6. Exodus 20. Okay. Doug has it.
Hold on.
Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of any thing that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth that's beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children unto the third and to the fourth generation, them that that hate me. And show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments.
Okay, fascinating. In Exodus chapter 20 is where the Ten Commandments are given. The Ten Commandments. And just in verses 3 through 6, it talks about worshiping the host of heaven, worshiping the stars, worshiping the moon. And you guys already know if we was to study the Muslims, they worship who? Allah, the moon god.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And they'll be the first ones to tell you, well, the God of the Bible, he can't touch us. And guys, you're going to touch him. Don't worship the moon. Don't worship, it says right there. And that's for everybody on the planet. There's something else I used to take a notice when someone else worships the moon and the stars, astrology and all this stuff. Notice the other word in there, iniquity, moral impurity. All these false religions have impurity with them. And what happens? It sets the children against the God of heaven, and it can go up to four generations. That is deep. And that's why God says, away with it. He's judging Babylon right now for their iniquity. He's judging them for the wickedness that they're doing, for worshiping the moon, the sun, the stars, the whole works. And that is what's happening here. I've got a few other. I don't know how far. I hope that's enough scriptures just to give you an idea of what's happening when God is shaking it. He's not happy. He's shaking it. He's moving hard against this group of people. In verse 14, "And it shall be as the chaste roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up, they shall every man turn to his own people, and flee every one into his own land." He's making things so bad for Babylon right here, they're escaping with their life. At least they think they are. They are running. They use an example here as the roe. A roe is like one of them deer being chased. And you're not going to catch them. If you ever see them, they are fast. One of the things that brought me to salvation, believe it or not, was a deer. No, I'm not talking about a person. I was going up to see the Cleveland Browns with a friend. And we're driving along, and I look over to my right-hand side, and here's a deer. Now, I'm doing about 55 up to 60, okay? Up on 71, going up to see the Cleveland Browns take on, I don't know if it was the Steelers or the Minnesota Vikings, one of them. And as I'm driving along, I finally understood what it means when a deer prances, okay? They have their 2 feet like this, and when they jump, two over here, back and forth. And the deer did this once too many, because he jumped in front of my car and totaled it. Okay? And so what that did for me is I had to get another car. And because I had to get another car, it forced me to move to Westerville. And within a month, I came to know Christ as Savior. How about that? So I can praise the Lord for the deer that was too fast. Oh, boy.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had a 63.
Did you ever live in daylight out of
you? Oh, absolutely. Well, that's when the car got towed to Otter's Osco service in Marengo.
Yeah.
Osco's auto service with this guy's garage in the back of his house. And so he tried fixing it, but back they had large bolts to hold on the grid. Nowadays, they'd make the bolts about this big. But the two bolts went right to the radiator. So he thought he put in enough stop link and everything, and we made it to within 45 minutes of Cleveland and died again. So I had to call some friends up, and they came and picked us up, and we came back by Greyhound. What a trip. But thank the Lord. You know, the bad things in our life, we can look at the bad things and cry, or we can look at some of the bad things and go, okay, this is what God was doing. I am so glad to be saved. I don't mind if I lost 100 cars. I am so glad to know Christ is my personal Savior. Also, if you notice here about the sheep are running. If you notice with the shepherd, he's got to have a sheepdog. Because them sheep are running every which way direction. Also, a shepherd has a crook so he can grab them, pull them out. All right, but the sheep are fast. And these people here, because of God bringing judgment on the nation of as far as Babylon, they're running for their life. And they're going back to wherever home is, as we see in the verse here.
John, you also keep in mind, as we were talking last week, of the dual application of this.
Yes.
The future mystery of Babylon. And it's described in Revelation 16, 17 to 21, with the seventh angel pouring out his vial into the air. And says in verse 18, "And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth."
Yep.
"So mighty an earthquake and so great, and the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found." And so forth. So
it Amen. Absolutely.
The future, not only in Isaiah's time future, but the
correct. Well, that's what I mentioned before when I said futuristic by Christ coming and sitting on the throne.
Yeah.
So, but yes, that's there's a whole lot of scriptures. Once you understand that, you can start gathering them and just feast on the Word of God, and it becomes fun in that aspect. Verse 15. "Everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword." Thrust through means they take that sword and run it through your body. And one of the things that I learned for the swords they made, I guess, in the 16th, 17th century, whatever, they had like a little groove down the center of it. And the purpose of the center of the groove is that when they stuck you in, it would not create a vacuum. You could be able to pull the sword back out. Fascinating. Well, here, they're being ran through. And anyone who's still connected with Babylon, they're running them through too. They're killing them dead. And the same is going to happen when God brings his angels in at the time of Christ in Revelation 19. And they're all going to be run through, however you want to look at it. They're going to be wiped out. Verse 16.
And just for reference, Joel 2 is a very descriptive account of that prophecy being fulfilled. Again, dual.
Yes. Amen.
What's the verse on that, Pastor?
Just the whole chapter, Joel 2.
Whole chapter?
Yeah.
Now, you said something I have to ask. You said something about sheepdogs.
Shepherds having a sheepdog. Did you say that? Yeah, they need it. Yeah, they need one, but that's not biblical. I mean, I know that's true, they have dogs, but I just wonder if you were referring to a passage. No, we're not referring to any passage. Okay, all right. Just now, you might find it. I was like, I don't remember that. I want to know where that is. I think it's in the NIV.
I
think it's in the book called Hephzibah, and it's 4:29.
All right. Thank you.
Wouldn't it be unclean to have a sheepdog?
Sorry. There's no reference for that one.
Okay. Well, yeah, because then you said, yeah, they have the staff and the...
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, but, and sheep like to wander around. There's a guy called Philip Keller or something like that. He wrote a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23.
Great book.
Great book. Yeah. Once you read it, it'll stick with your soul. Once you read Psalm 23, your mind will just go, wow. And then when you start coming across other passages of Scripture, wow. One of the phrases... When you read through the Psalms, where you see David cry out to the Lord, and he goes, Lord, leave me not cast down. All right? Well, the word cast down means a sheep, they have a high, they're high up. And when they fall over, they can't get back up. And when they fall down, the legs stick up. So if you remember any of the Looney Tunes cartoons or whatever, you see these sheep with the legs up. Well, if the shepherd doesn't pick them up within, I don't know if it's like 3 hours or whatever the time frame is, if he doesn't get them at that time frame, by being on their back, it cuts off the blood and they die.
Yeah.
It dies. So David is saying, Lord, I can't do anything. I'm cast down. Unless you help me out, I'm a goner. You know? And sometimes God allows those situations to come into our life so that we cry out to him because we're not in prayer in the first place. Yeah. And that's why we should make everything a prayer, even the smallest things. Doug?
A couple doors down from my parents' house, there, these people had sheep, and I'm going to be as honest as I can. They are the dumbest animals that there is. They go out into, like, the Olympic into a river and drown. I mean, they... You have to have a shepherd or somebody around to pull them out because they're dumb. They're really dumb.
That's why it's a perfect comparison to us.
Yes, exactly. That's true. That's a fact.
And that what he was saying too, being top heavy, I've heard that used as being when men think too highly of themselves, they tip over.
Excellent. Yeah. See, no, great application. Yeah. Yes, I see that hand.
What was that book called again by Mr. Carroll?
A shepherd looks at Psalm 23. The guy's from Africa, believe it or not. Philip Keller, I think the guy's name is. He wrote a couple other books too, but that is the best one out of all the ones he did. That's a prayer. He was like talking on sheep. He was washing the sheep one day. It is so hot outside. All the sheep have their heads stuck in the shade. the rest of the body is still burning up. Okay? Or one time it is pouring down rain, he's got the barn door open, they're still standing out there while it's just pouring down rain. Yeah. One time he had him in a corral, and he tried opening the gate, and one of the boards fell down this way. So the first sheep jumps over the board. Second sheep jumps over. So he pulls the board out, but every single sheep is jumping over an imaginary board. Because that's what the one in front of him did. The stories are just hilarious.
Yeah.
Sheep will not drink water if the water is moving. So that's why you read in Psalm 23.
Martha.
Hello, Martha. We're having a good time in the Lord.
Talking about sheep.
She was saying, so the man's name is Philip Yancey. I don't know who that is.
Yancey?
Good something.
Here, we can look it up.
Keller is the author of that book you were saying.
Okay, verse 16. Verse 16 is not a fun one. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled. And their wives ravished. Therefore, no house is safe from the judgment. Not a single house. It's a sad time in Babylon. But guys, if we're worshiping false gods, the same will happen with us. And it's going to be a very sad time. Okay, who's got Nahum 3:10? Nahum, Johnny, Nahum 3:10.
Thank you.
Yeah, Micah 3:10.
Here we go.
You said Nahum.
Nahum. You said Nahum, didn't you?
Nahum.
Yes, 3:10.
Yeah. 3:10.
Yet was she carried away. She went into captivity. Her young children also were dead in pieces. No, were dashed in pieces right. At the top of all the streets. And they cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound in chains.
Right. This goes back with verse 4 and 5, dealing with the people from Nineveh. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, notice iniquity. So who are they probably worshiping? Moon, stars, the whole works there. The mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations through her whoredoms. Again, that's a reference to Rome. And you go into the book of Revelation, I think you'd find it in maybe chapter 18, somewhere around in there. And families through her witchcrafts. Families. And what's happening with these families? The kids are being dashed against the stones. What are we doing here in America? Abortion? What's the difference, guys? What's the difference? And according to Scripture, it's actually a practice of Moloch. Sad. Very sad. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness, and the kingdoms thy shame. Whew. That's against Babylon, guys. But you know what? America is not too far away from looking like Babylon. Not too far away at all. I've got a book that was published in England called On Fox's Book of Martyrs, and it just the stories that happened just in England. Right? One of the woodcut drawings that is nightmarish talks about the youngest martyr ever. They had a lady at the stake who was pregnant, and they were burning her. And of course, the tummy bust open and the baby popped out. Someone went ahead and grabbed that little baby and threw it in the fire. Youngest martyr. That's the wickedness, and that's horrible, guys. And the Lord says, I'm going to take the Medes here, and they're going to come down, and you're not going to stand a chance. They're not going to have a conscience. And if you study in Paul's writings on the conscience, What happens when you have a hard conscience? Or there's another word for it, but...
Seared,
yeah. Yeah. It means you've done so much sin that you no longer have a conscience. You don't care who you hurt. You don't care what your words say to somebody else. You know, you're like a bull in a china shop. Bust everything in his path. And guys, the closer that you and I get to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more tender hearted we become and the more care that we have for the people around us, especially the enemies. Right now, we can laugh and make fun of the enemy. But guys, we're going to die and go to hell. And the only way they're going to get the gospel message is us. Is us. Verse 17. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Okay, something about the Medes, when you study the Medes, the Medes were mountain people. They lived up in the mountains. They were rude. They were crude. They also lived in forests. They had no use for money. They could care less about silver and gold. Didn't mean a thing to them. What if you asked the average Mede what concerned him? It was the weapons he had. It was the honey. That's what his greatest possession was. And so why does God put that in here? I can tell you one of the reasons he put it in here. All right? When you study through Scripture, you'll see this kingdom come over and knock off this kingdom, or they have an agreement and they pay each other money. You pay me money and we won't bother you anymore. It's like blackmail. Okay? So therefore, if Babylon was going to blackmail the Medes and say, hey, tell you what, we'll give you silver and gold if you don't bother us. They're going to go, what's gold? What's silver? And they don't, you can't bribe them, right? They're going to bring destruction and judgment. That is God's army. That's why God picked them.
There's a connection with modern, with Medes are connected with Persia.
Yes.
And Persia is Iran.
Correct.
And a lot of people don't know, Iran was called Persia until the 1950s.
And oh, wow, okay. That recently, I did not know.
Yeah, it just changed the name in the 1950s. And,
to protect innocent.
What is going on right now is that, you know, all these sanctions, these people are so given over to their reprobates, given over to the false religion of Allah.
Yes.
That they don't care.
Yeah.
Just like here. And so it's set up for the dual prophecy fulfilled by modern Iran.
Yeah, identical. Yeah.
Related to the Medes.
Yeah, Jenny.
I was just thinking, you know, kind of like with your whole somebody bringing money to a gun battle. It's kind of like with, you know, like with the whole Russia-Ukraine thing, you know, America, all we were doing, at least for a while there, was, oh, we're going to sanction you. You're going to lose money. But Russia, they didn't care about that.
Nope. Right? No.
They're trying to kill people. They're caring about
their weapons.
Well,
put it this way. Russia is aligned with China. China makes all our stuff. What sanctions are they going to stop?
Well, yeah. No, the Bible talks about people who hate God and they hate wisdom.
Right, exactly.
All them that hate me love death.
They
love death.
Proverbs, yeah.
That's what they love.
Exactly.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay, verse 18. Their bow shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. Verse 19, and Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, real quick here. Sodom and Gomorrah. Iniquity about it. God wiped them out. Okay? In Daniel chapter 5, which is what's happening here, God is wiping out the Babylonian Empire. Why? Because they're like Sodom and Gomorrah. 587 B.C., Israel. God brings in the Babylonian army and knocks them out because they're like Sodom and Gomorrah. 70 AD, God brings in the Roman Empire, which is a picture of the Babylonian Empire today, and they come in and they wipe them out. Why? Because they're like Sodom and Gomorrah. And now we have the book of Revelation, chapter 19, when Christ comes in, and what does he call Jerusalem, his beloved city? Sodom and Gomorrah. Bingo. Comes in and wipes them out.
You're just being mean.
Okay, I got that from the NIV. He just said saying amen. Nice. The other place says bingo, okay? Okay. Okay, verse 20. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. That is God's final pronouncement on, wait one second, that's his final pronouncement on Babylon. All right? Babylon is only like 25 miles from the Tower of Babel. When you study these things, the two are connected. The Ur of the Chaldees, where Abraham lived, was only 15 miles south of him. It all ties together, guys, to open up the book of Revelation coming up. But Babylon, after God destroyed it, has never been inhabited since then. It's been wiped out, and it's there. Now, you've heard different Bible prophets say, look here, old Babylon's going to raise again. Well, that's just a misdirection by those that have infiltrated the Baptists and Christianity. Babylon is never going to rise again. It's going to be a mystery, Babylon, and it's going to come out of Italy as prophesied in Daniel 9:27. Johnny.
We got to close it up. You're going to
One last question.
Well, let's ask it later. We need to close it up. I got to put it hard. We got to close it up.
Okay.
We'll have to ask it next week.
Okay. Brian, if you don't mind closing us down here.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the time today and all of the people here who have heard your word, your perfectly preserved word. Thank you for John leading the study. Thank you that we may all be here peacefully. And it's in your son's name that we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
We'll have to get a crook to pull John off the pulpit.
All right, on liners, go get your tea.